Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast of my show, Lead Singer Syndrome. I apologize for my more somber than usual tone. Yeah, it's gotten wild out there. I am recording this from my home, where I have not left in a few days. And I'm supposed to be in Texas right now on tour. Well, that got the kibosh. And it's really crazy how much, you know, how fast this thing has changed. And obviously, I'm talking about COVID-19, the coronavirus. Maybe you'll be listening to this in like 2 years and you'll be like, oh yeah, that was a super weird like little period of time. I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is going to be something that we look back on as the most insane thing that ever happened in our lives. Definitely for me, it certainly seems to be so far. So yeah, I mean, a week ago, I put up the podcast. Don't know if I even mentioned it. Maybe I mentioned it, but it's crazy how much can change in a week. And we were on tour in Charlotte, North Carolina. We played down at the Underground. A sold out show. Really, really awesome. And, you know, there's rumblings about this whole thing going on. We heard that some bands may be canceling their tours. You know, but that was mostly the bands that had kind of not started the tours yet. We heard that, you know, it was getting bad up in the Pacific Northwest and that maybe those shows wouldn't happen, but we fully were prepared to get most of the tour completed. Well, we got off stage in North Carolina and we found out about Tom Hanks. We found out about Rudy Gobert and the Utah Jazz and the NBA getting canceled, and then March Madness was going to be played with no audience. Now it's completely not even postponed, just canceled, along with pretty much everything else and every musical tour. Yeah, it's been absolutely crazy. I got to give a big shout out to Code Orange for doing something amazing. Doing that really rad live stream from their hometown. I got to give a shout out to the Dropkick Murphys for playing on St. Patrick's Day in an empty room, live streaming it on YouTube. I just checked it out for a little while. It kind of popped up on my phone and I noticed that there was 150,000 people watching that thing. And to me, that is a beautiful, beautiful thing that we can still have music. And I remind you that Silverstein, we have a brand new album we just put out last week. That is just classic Silverstein luck to put out an album and then have the whole world shut down. But I mean, I guess if you're sitting around with not much to do, which pretty much all of us are, yeah, check out the new Silverstein record, A Beautiful Place to Drown. And, you know, a lot of bands are talking about the financial side of this and how much it does affect, you know, obviously the band members themselves, including me, but our crew, you know, all the people that work at the venues, the promoter, the bar staff, the security, you know, everyone all the way down. It's really, really crazy how all these people are essentially just out of work and no one really knows what they're going to do. And, you know, a lot of times with this stuff, you know, a band will make, especially when they're doing a headlining tour like Silverstein was, you know, you'll make your entire salary pretty much in a month and a half, you know, for the whole year. And then a lot of the other stuff you do will be, you know, you'll make a little bit of money maybe when you play a festival or you do a support tour or whatever, but a bulk of it will come from a headline tour. And now that's just gone away. I'm going to be here at my house in Canada for the next, I mean, it looks like probably 4 months. We're supposed to be doing a European tour in June. There's no word yet on whether that's going to happen, but yeah, it's pretty nuts. So definitely, yeah, if you could check out our new record, that'd be cool. If you could check out the Silverstein merch that we put online, we took our tour merch, you know, we ordered a lot of it because we had a lot of shows, and unfortunately that was unsold, and now that is just sitting around, but we're selling it now, so you can head over to Silverstein Music. Actually, SilversteinStore.com if you want to check that out. And of course, if you want to help out the show, and of course help out me too, you can check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club for more content. There's a whole bunch of content I'm putting up all the time on there, especially if you sign up now. You can go, you know, see all the bonus episodes that I've done over the last 3 years that I've been doing the All Access Club. So there's a lot of content that you can go grab if you sign up today. The link is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. And yeah, it costs you as little as $6 a month. And you get access to a really great community of other people that are sitting around bored as hell, just like you probably are. So yes, check it out again. The link is leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. So I have quite a few episodes in the bank right now that I want to roll out, that I'm going to roll out in the next few weeks. I might even put out a couple extras because, well, all anyone's got is time right now, right? So more podcasts, more better, I guess. But I decided to roll out this episode with a very awesome, unique, fearless artist, Olga Svetlana of the Svetlanas. I did this one,
hi,
I guess, when I was in, after we did the North Carolina show, actually, is when I did it. So I did this last Thursday. Yes, that's when I recorded it. And the reason I've chosen to roll this one now is because Olga and her husband and son, and I assume probably some of their bandmates, are on lockdown in Italy right now. And I'm sure, as you've heard, if you've been following the news, like we all have, Italy is particularly badly hit with the COVID-19, a lot of deaths, and spreading very rapidly. And they've taken quite intense measures to try to keep it from spreading. And that's what she's going through right now. So I thought this was the most relevant one to put out. Not to mention, they have a brand new album. It is called Disco Sucks, and it is out right now. So head over to Spotify or Apple Music or however you listen to your music and check out the Svetlana's brand new record as well. And this band has a story. I mean, as a lot of people may know, or if you haven't heard of the band, you probably don't know. Well, they were exiled, banned, kicked out of Russia for political statements, and they are not allowed to return. And that is why she and the band are now based, I guess, sort of based in Italy. So that's where I called her to speak to her from. Anyway, we'll get into that in just a second. But if you want to reach out to me for any reason at all, if you're bored, whatever, I'm bored too. I'll be reading all my emails, writing back. I mean, I always do, but I'll probably be a little more on top of it. So hit me up. It's leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. Add me on social media. Yeah, I mean, add the podcast too. Again, this is still real fresh, all this stuff. I've been in my house since we got back on Saturday, so it's only been a few days, and I'm still kind of just wrapping my head around the feeling of nothing to do and nowhere to go at all for the foreseeable future. And also no sports. Oh my God, it's killing me. The no sports is absolutely just killing me. Yeah, I've had everyone suggest go find old playoffs from a year you don't know what happened and watch that. Actually sounds pretty good. Or put on some video games and put computer against computer and watch that. You know, NHL 2000. I think I got a copy of NHL 09 kicking around somewhere. I'll put that on. But no, seriously, what a weird time. And again, I don't know where you live. I don't know the status of what's going on in your jurisdiction, but I do encourage everybody to do the right thing, to distance yourself from other people, especially if you've been traveling at all. Stay away from anyone that's elderly until you definitely know that you don't have anything. I mean, that's the fear I think so many of us have, is like, what if our parents get this thing? You know, it's really terrifying. So please do the right thing. You know, of course, wash your hands and all that, but make sure that you are distancing yourself. And of course, stay safe out there, and leave some toilet paper for the rest of us, and leave the baby wipes for the babies. Jesus. Anyway, here it is, my conversation with Olga of the Svetlanas.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Thank you for doing this, Olga. I'm a huge fan. This is awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for your support and for your time too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't really know where to start. You know, that's always the problem I have with these things. But I guess I'll start by asking you where you are right now.
Oh, we are in Italy right now. We are in Milan, and we are locked in for the coronavirus.
Exactly, right. And I thought you might say that, because I know, obviously, I know you have roots in Italy, like your family is Italian, you know, and you guys being from Russia and that whole story, which we'll get to. So you are, like, when you say you're locked in, the last that I heard, all there is that's open are grocery stores and pharmacies. Is that correct?
Yes, there is. There are open just the supermarket and the pharmacies and obviously the hospitals.
Oh my goodness! So, are people that you know sick?
No, we cannot go out, basically.
Right.
But the real problem is that this virus gives a lot of problem for respiration.
Yes.
So we don't have enough equipment here in the hospital in Milan or in Italy.
Right.
So this is why all the people is locked in the house. Because if you became sick, you go in the hospital, but they need to choose who could be survive, because
there's
not enough equipment. This is the real situation.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
So I hope that in the other countries to understand that this is not just wash your hand. This is important, and this is more punk. Use the intelligence and don't be stupid. So everyone in the same situation here, and I hope that this situation don't go out of this country, because we have medical insurance. In other countries, there isn't. So it's an epidemic.
Yeah, it is. It is
important. Use the brain, guys. Please use the brain.
No, it's well, obviously, like over in Italy. You know, this was happening. It happened so fast to where the authorities said, okay, like, we have to do something.
I read a lot of news about Germany and France too, and Spain, and there is not a good situation.
Yeah.
So I really hope that everything will go good very soon, and that everyone can go out soon. But if everyone use the brain, probably the situation will be very good in a fast way.
Yeah. People must be freaking out over there, though. I mean, and bored and like... Man.
Yes, you know, absolutely. I understand. It's not easy. You are locked in the house. The kids can't go to school. So it's not easy for everyone. But, you know, now we have Pornhub for free in Italy. So you can do a lot of things, guys. You can drink. You can stay with your kids. You can watch Netflix and Pornhub too.
Yeah.
For free. So
right.
Keep a a smile and be strong and be more punk than everyone. Do music, read a book.
That's the thing, man. That's like, and I'm in the U.S. right now. I'm Canadian, but my band's on tour right now. And I don't really know what's going to happen. We played a show last night. You know, it was like,
what do you play?
I sing for Silverstein.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did Warped Tour together a few years back. When you guys jumped on, I don't know, 2015 maybe.
It's supposed that we will be back in the States at the end of May for a club show for punk rock bowling.
Awesome. Yeah.
So we will do this, and after, yes, please keep in touch so we can do something.
Yeah, sure. Of course. I love punk rock bowling. I was thinking about heading out this year, so maybe I'll see you there. But back to what I was just saying about the coronavirus. Like right now, obviously, if you're in Italy, like everything's canceled. In the U.S., like no one really knows what's going on yet. You know,
I don't know for the U.S. Here, yeah. In Italy, everyone is canceled until April 3rd. So we are locked in the city until April 3rd. After this, everything should be normal another time.
Right.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I guess that's the way to do it. If you lock everything up for the span of the virus, then it's gone. I mean, right? I mean, that kind of makes sense. So, wow, this is what a time to be alive. That's crazy. But I do hope. It is a good time for people that are maybe in quarantine or whatever to read some books and get educated on something. Take the time, you know, to do that, whatever it is. So let's talk about your music and your new album, Disco Sucks.
It will be out tomorrow.
It's out tomorrow.
Yay!
Yes. Finally. That's exciting. So that title, I mean, obviously, there's some tongue-in-cheek-ness to this record. Talk to me about the title and kind of what went into this record.
You ask me about the title?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. The title, it was because we are a fan of the disco music of the past.
Okay.
But not about the actual disco music. And after this, there is a good motivation because we called the album in this way. So in the past, also Disco Sucks was a slogan, a racist slogan. And, you know, I fucking hate Nazis people. I can't understand because they are alive. So I steal their slogan because they can't have anything. And I use it. So it really became, and for sure, a funny slogan, a punk slogan, or what you want. But for us, the most important thing is that they don't have anything. Neither as a slogan. We did the same with the title of a song, Pussification of Punk Rock.
Yes.
It's one of the songs of the new album.
Yeah.
This is why we received this insult from people when we stopped the tour a couple of years ago.
Right.
So someone called us Pussification of Punk Rock. So if I am anti-racist, if I am anti-Nazis, if I am anti-fascist, yes, I'm proud to be a pussification of punk rock.
There you go. A great answer. And you brought that up about the tour. It was with Barbed Wire Dolls, and you basically, there was a Nazi supporter at the show, and you said absolutely not. Fuck this, and
yes,
you canceled the show, and then
reason, for this reason we canceled just one show.
Yeah,
the real reason was that we can't be a supporter band for another band who told us that for them there is not important who came to the show.
Right.
So music is for everyone, for sure. But for my music and the Svetlana's music is not for Nev's people at all.
No. And I think that your position and leaving the tour makes a lot of sense based on, you know, who you are and what you represent as a band. This is real. You aren't bullshitting, you know. I see you up on stage and you can tell that you mean every word you're saying. You know, this isn't to sell records and t-shirts. This isn't because punk's another genre. For you, punk is seemingly it's your life. And punk is politics. I've heard you say that. So, you know, with that kind of stance, it makes total sense why you would absolutely not want to align yourself with people that aren't in your belief system, but there's not that many bands, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I can't understand how it's possible that in 2020 and in the punk scene, there is someone who can't understand that we are talking about human rights.
Right.
So if we are talking about human rights, it's not politics.
Right.
We are talking about Nazism. And if you do a good research on Google, you can find that the Nazism that was in the States too.
Yeah.
So everyone in the States needed to know what is the Nazism. It's not free speech. It's a bullshit.
Yeah.
So someone, they killed millions of people. It's history. It's not my opinion and your opinion.
No.
So it's humanity. So everyone needs to do this. It's not a stand up for politics, or I am against, I'm supporter a politician or another one. It's very important. So
right.
It's very important also when we talk about Trump.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about human rights and not about politics. So this is the same for Putin. This is the same for Salvini in Italy. There is the same of other things. And when I was young, I thought that in the punk scene, there is a lot of people with brain that use brain. So and I can't realize really how it's possible, because in 2020 you can't be fun about these arguments in this moment when a lot of people do a lot of shitty things again. So you are punk. Show us that what is punk in 2020. We don't need Sid Vicious with the patch now. We need other things. It's another historical moment.
Right. No. Well said. Well said. So I've read a lot about.
I agree with me.
What's that?
Are you agree with me?
Yeah, I agree with you. Completely agree with you. So, you know, I've read a lot about your band and, you know, interviews and little, you know, tidbits and stuff about the band. But I do really want to hear the whole story of kind of how your band came to be and how that resulted in your exile from Russia, you know, getting kicked out, getting banned, whatever you want to call it. And now not being able to go back. For a lot of people listening to this, they're American or they're from Europe or they're from Australia. They're from places that don't understand that Russia doesn't fuck around. They don't accept any kind of, you know, anti-government talk or any kind of protest, even if it's peaceful. Maybe just try to explain to people kind of what happened, you know, and kind of how you got into punk rock, because I imagine Russian people, obviously, they talk amongst themselves about all these issues. Russian people are very smart. However, they're not allowed to speak out. So talk to me about how you made that decision to kind of do that.
So we are talking about two albums ago.
Yeah.
When we did Naked Earth Rider. And in the cover of the album, there was Putin naked on a horse, and it wasn't a good idea for some Russians. And in the same time, the problem were the lyrics. So
right.
when when they organized a tour of this Svetlana's tour in Russia, we can't have the guys can't have a visa, and I received a letter where they wrote that I'm not a desirable people for the nation, for the country. This happened also because I usually set on fire the Putin's pictures.
Oh yeah.
During on the stage, during a lot of Svetlana's gigs. And we did an European tour with the Doors, and I did this lots of time. So probably someone didn't like my thoughts.
Yeah. Did it surprise you at all that, because, you know, it's grassroots, like it's, you know, you're not playing a festival with like thousands of people, like it's just a punk show. Were you surprised at all that it kind of got back to the authorities so quickly?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's, they're just, it's hard for people, you know, in Western culture to understand, you know, because of the lack of free speech, you know, it's really different for us that like, wow, yeah, the government's got all this going on and they actually care about a punk band, you know?
I don't think that it's just for the cultural history of people. I think there is another motivation probably.
Yeah.
Do you know the story about Pussy Riot?
Of course, yeah, I do.
So this is not free speech at all.
No.
There are a lot of confusion about Pussy Riot too, because they are not a real band.
Right.
So everyone talks about Pussy Riot and we are talking about music, but it's not in this way. They are a collective, a political collective. So there is not music, but there was a demonstration.
Yes.
And they can't, basically, you can't do this. But I think that you are not in every country there is not a real freedom. So someone can probably think to be really free, but not anyone is really free.
Yeah. Yeah, it's messed up. So were you born in...
Or we need to talk about the concept of anarchy.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I mean, do you see like there being any hope of change? I mean, it sounds so hokey that I say it like that, but like actually some movement in Russia that can change the status quo? I mean, is that ever going to happen? I mean, do you think it's impossible?
No, I don't know, but I think that everything is possible if you believe it.
Yeah.
So I am friends with a band with the Moscow Death Brigade. You know the band?
Oh, which band? Sorry.
Moscow Death Brigade.
Yes, yes, yes.
So also the same guys as a hardcore band. The Siberian Meat Grinders.
Siberian Meat Grinders, yes.
They are two bands. They are two great bands. And I think they do the right things. They do music, but they have a great message inside. So they are trying to do a change.
Yeah.
And they still live there.
Yeah.
And I think that this year they come to the States because they probably play in a club show, in a punk rock bowling club show too.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome. Well, yeah, everybody should definitely check them out and their message as well. So go ahead.
I think that everyone with music, but not only with music, but also with his passion can do a difference. If we do a lot of small difference, we can change something.
Yeah. I love that attitude. So just to understand, so you were born in Russia in Moscow, or you're born in Italy?
No, I born in Moscow. Yeah. But I live in Italy since I was an adolescent. And after I married Diste, the drummer of the Svetlanas. So now I stay here with him and with my kid, Daniel. So, yes, I'm based, now I'm based in Milan.
So, okay, so you have a, I guess you have an Italian, like Italian citizenship or something. So you're able, you're at least able to, you know, live somewhere. It's hard to understand, you know, reading like interviews and stuff with these short messages, like, you know, it makes you sound like you guys are like citizenshipless, like you've got nowhere to go, you know? So it's kind of interesting to hear that. So tell me about like when you were, you know, young, growing up in Russia, what was it like? What was your family like? Did you have brothers and sisters? How did you, do you remember the first time you heard like a punk rock band?
Oh, I just have my mama.
Yeah.
So, my mommy was the real hero of this history because he is the person who chose to came in Europe for the first time. So I came in France before and after in Italy. And this was because there was a very bad situation between her and the man who is supposed to be my daddy.
Yeah.
So this is why I don't stay in Russia, because my mommy choose for everyone and it choose to go out, and it was better at the end. So I'm very happy to grow up here in Italy. But here in Italy there is also a big Russian community.
Okay.
I think that in every big city there is a Chinese community, a Russian community, an Italian community or something like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, I agree, yeah.
So I just have a granny now in Russia and some friends.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And the first time that I listened punk, I was which is the name of the middle school, probably. And I listened for the first time the Discharge.
Discharge.
And I became crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Yeah. Yeah.
It's possible. It's So this is the first punk album that I listened.
Yeah. And then that just sort of, after you heard that, what did you just start? Did you have a friend that showed it to you? Did you start like trying to find other bands? How did that work?
It happened at school. There was other guys who listened some music, and I listened one song.
Yeah.
So they copied the tape.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember what Discharge song it was?
We did a lot of compilation from ourselves. So you recorded a lot of different song on a same tape. You change the tape with other guys, so you can listen a lot of. So the name probably is the mixtape.
Like this might be a stupid question, but was this music allowed in Russia? Like were people allowed to listen to? Punk?
Oh, yes.
With politics or anything? Like, there were no bans on what music was distributed, was there?
So, you know, there is Spotify. There is a...
Yeah.
So you can... Now, it's different. So you can listen basically what you want. You can change the IP and you can do what you want.
Totally. I mean, I know now.
Yeah, you can stream.
But I mean, like back, you know, when you were in middle school... and you guys were like trading tapes and stuff, mixtapes. I mean, what was it like back then? Because I imagine there was some suppression of what was able to be, you know, played. Because I know bands couldn't go there back then.
This was in Italy.
Oh, sorry, this was in Italy. Okay. Sorry.
No, I thought
it was in Russia. That's why I asked.
No.
okay. Now it makes sense. I got it. So that's cool. So I want to ask you about, you know, your stage presence. You're kind of in a league of your own. You're very intense on stage, and I remember one time I watched you if you play on Warped Tour a couple of times, and I went back to watch, and it's probably the third time that I'd watched you on the shows, and I was standing like kind of far away, like kind of off by myself, and you saw me out there. And I'm you were just giving me the finger, like you were just sticking up your middle finger at me, and I was like, oh, is she like looking at me and giving me the finger? So I kind of look around, and yep, there's no one around me. It's just me here, and I was like, wow, like that's kind of an intense thing, just to give the finger to some random person. I don't know if you wanted me to move closer, if because I wasn't dancing, but you know, you have this thing where you kind of break. You know, in film, they call it breaking the fourth wall, you know, like that division between the audience. When did you start doing that? And I guess where does this come from?
From the hunger, from the stress, from the delusion. This is a way of... this is my way to do something good for me. When I am on the stage and we start, I became myself in every side. So I can scream, I can do what I want, and I can show all my personalities. Right. And everything, it's good. I can do this when I'm not on the stage, or I became a very aerial asshole. So, so this is my way to don't go to a psychologist.
Right. It's like your therapy. Yes, your therapy. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, do you have people like come up to you after a show and they're kind of scared of you? Because you're very nice to talk to, but even calling you, all I can remember is you on stage giving me the finger, and I'm like, it's intimidating.
Yes, I am very happy too when I talk with people after the show, and now before too, because someone already know what happened when I go on a stage. And but it's a nice way to. To show the real self to all the people.
Yeah. No, it's funny because, you know, you're so well spoken and you're smart, and it's like there's this really real difference between just the mad energy to that, and like it's important for people to have conversations like you have. but do you ever feel like you maybe not to say you don't get taken seriously, but your message is ends up being washed away by your anger? Is that ever an issue for your band?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Can't argue with that. Okay. Well, what else to tell the people? The new record is coming out tomorrow. Disco Sucks. Do you have any favorite tracks on this one or anything that, you think people really need to hear?
So yes, I have my favorite track, and it's "Never Sleep Again."
Okay. "Never Sleep Again." Got it.
Yeah, we are working on doing by ourselves 10 video clip for all the songs in the album. So have 10 songs, and we will do 10 video clips, and everything also. By ourselves, so it's very fun, and it's a good way to now in this situation to keep us busy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right, it's like you got an album coming out tomorrow. You've got so much time on your hands, you might as well write another one.
Yes, we probably we started to write the other one right now. Probably.
Oh man, yeah. Make the best of a terrible situation. So, Never Sleep Again. It's the closing track on the record. Talk to me about that song. What is that song about? And why is it your favorite?
Because it's my romantic moment. I fucking love the breakdown in the middle. I love dance on it, and for me it's a very personal song for the lyrics.
Cool.
So I really like it, and also I love the Nick's voice in this song at the end. You heard it?
Yeah, I have the whole record here. Yeah.
Yeah, so at the end when he said goodbye, and good night, I fucking like it. It's great. So, yes, it's my favorite. Also, Don't Do It, I like it. I like it very much because we use the kids of a skate park where we recorded the new album. We use the young skater for the chorus.
Yeah.
So they sing with Nick in the album, and this was our way to try to go to these young kids and to start to listen them music like Suicidal Tendencies or Municipal Waste, and not just trap music. Because now, I don't know, in the rest of Europe and in the rest or in the States or in Australia, but in Italy, there was just trap. And I really wish that some young skater start to listen also hardcore or,
totally.
Or punk rock or the music with the skate was born.
Of course. I mean, that's what the band I listened to when I was skateboarding, Suicidal Tendencies, 100%. That was the skateboard band, Southern California, you know, for sure. It was definitely a band like that.
Yes, but you know, just rock would be fine.
Yeah. No, not anymore. I know it's. I don't even know. Call me out of touch or old or whatever. But yeah, I know music people listening to, like young people. I don't really know what they see in it, but there's something, I guess. Hey, you talk about Nick. Yeah, so Nick Oliveri, who I've actually met before. People will know him probably best from Queens of the Stone Age. Also Caius, legendary band. How did you guys get hooked up with him? I mean, and is he a full part of your band now?
Yes, he is in the lineup, and it happened because we did some tour with the Dwarves.
Yeah.
And he is the best player of the Dwarves too.
All right, yeah.
So we met during on the road, and he asked us if he could jump on the stage and play with us at the beginning. And we are very honored about this. So we answered, "For sure, Nick, thanks." And after this, he asked us if he could play with us. He can join the lineup. And we were very happy for this. And sometimes dreams come real.
That's cool. But does he live in California?
Yes, he lives in Joshua Tree, in California.
So is that hard at all to, I mean, obviously a lot of stuff can be done, you know, mobile over the internet, but there's a time difference. Like, it's not always easy.
It's easy because, you know, he has a lot of bands, so he is very often in tour, and they came very often here in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
We are a touring band, so we are very often in the States too. And so we met each other very, very often. Last year, I probably saw him more than my son. So it was, yes, we have a lot of occasion to work together. And now he's in tour with Mondo Generator, his band.
Yes.
And they have a new album. Fuck It is the title. And it's great, the album.
Great.
And I love them. They are one of the best live band. So I think yes, they are great. And also in the track in the track list of the of their new album, there is a song titled Svetlanas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wrote for us. I do a feature on this song, and it's a very hardcore song.
Awesome.
In a blood clot way.
Awesome! I love that. That's great. That's a cool. Yeah. That's a cool way to do a shout out. That's really great. So, okay, well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I'll play Never Sleep Again for the people. Anything else before I let you go?
Yes, I want to know, which is your favorite track?
Well, I like Jump. I mean, I thought that was a great song kicking off the record. And the video is really, really good.
Cool.
And I thought Spit on Your Mother's Face was pretty intense as well. So I like those ones. Those ones jumped out at me. I only got a chance to listen to the record once all the way through. So I'm hoping to spin it all the time now.
Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank
and
you.
For your support.
Yo,
and
thank
please,
you.
When you have time, call us because we are here. So... we can talk a lot. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you have lots of time.
Say hello to your band, please.
I will. Well, thank you so much. It's really great to speak to you. Do you have any shows
and
coming up or anything to tell the people
tonight.
About? What's that?
Kick-Ass on the stage tonight.
Yeah, well, we have a day off today.
Tomorrow.
We have a show tomorrow in Atlanta, and I hope there's no coronavirus cancellations or anything, but... I don't know. Maybe there should be. Who knows, right? It's a crazy time.
So, finger crossed for everything. If you play Kick-Ass, or if you don't play Kick-Ass at home, and write us.
I love it. Olga, thank you so much.
Ags.
All right. Here's Never Sleep Again on Lead Singer Syndrome. Olga, peace and love. Enjoy it. Yes, watch some movies, read some books. I hope you get through it okay.
Bye.
All right. See you. So there is brand new music from Svetlana's, and I want to thank Olga for taking the time to speak with me. And yeah, I know she's very bored. Oh my goodness. I mean, we have it bad enough here in Canada. I shouldn't say bad enough. We have it bad here too with, you know, everything is pretty much closed. But I've heard that since I spoke to her, it's gotten even worse. And now basically you need like a police escort to go to the grocery store, which, hey, we got to do what we got to do here. This is seemingly a very, very big crisis. And I really do fear for the lives of the elderly. And it is terrifying how quickly this thing is spreading. Anyway, I love you all. Be safe. And I'll be back next week with another new episode featuring Bert from The Used. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Peace and love. See you next time.